Let's just bow, shall we, and ask God to open our hearts to his message. Father God, thank you so much for your word to us today. Thank you so much for the strength of the words in the songs that we've sung this morning, for the strength of your word too. Father, for the strength of your spirit in our hearts. We just ask now that our hearts would settle and our minds would be open so that you can speak to us the message that you have for us today. And we praise you and we thank you for the almighty, loving God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of the message today is Growing and Standing, and I've come to learn in this last week that the older that you get, I can do the growing bit very well, particularly out this way, but the standing bit probably not so well, as Glenine discovered when she was coming to work the other day and I was flat on my face on the concrete. So hence, two fingers. Not very good. This much weight doesn't fall lightly, I can tell you. And this much weight hurts after it falls, I can tell you too. So, now all of you, there's some probably not here at the moment, they're probably all out the back, but all of the young mums who have got children and those of us who have been mums know that when we get our babies, we bring them home and they're gorgeous when we get them. They cry a lot and they don't sleep much, but they're gorgeous and we love them. But we look for each milestone that they take, you know, they start to smile and then they start to roll and they finally start to sleep. That's a milestone. And then they sit and they stand. And it's an exciting moment when we see our children standing, you know, we get really excited. They've found their feet and it's not going to be long before they walk. And perhaps this one's going to be an early walker, you know, we all talk about that. Never happened with any of mine, but that was all right. They were late walkers. And then time goes on, and one of my earliest memories as a child is having long hair. My sister and I both had long hair, and my mother would braid our hair every morning. And one of the first statements I can remember my mother saying to me is, "For goodness sake, Heather, can you stand still?" Obviously, I didn't, because my hair was cut off very shortly after that. And those braids lived in the drawer for many years. So standing, and I can understand, I think I can see God standing and saying, "For goodness sake, can you just stand still and listen to me?" To say to Bruce once, I think as evangelicals, we get pretty caught up and we say, "Let's get them in, let's get them saved, and let's get them on the roster. Let's get them working." Somewhere between getting them in and getting them saved and getting them on the roster, we forgot to get them to sit or to stand still and to grow and to listen to God's word. That's where we are today, is standing and learning, making a stand. Because unless we stand or sit and learn in God's presence, we will find making a stand for whatever it is that God has laid on our hearts that much more difficult to do. Because we will only try to do it in the strength that we have. And if we haven't taken the time to absorb God's word, to absorb who God is into our lives, we are naturally going to go on the strength we have ourselves, which is ourselves. And we will not succeed as well. But before we get to that, where it all began, going back in time. And first of all, God made a stand. Before time began, as we all know, Satan was an angel. He was Lucifer. He was beautiful. He was much loved. And Satan became proud and rebelled against God. God couldn't have that. Much as he loved him for who he was, he threw him out of heaven. He and all of the demonic, whom we know as the demons now, were thrown out. God knew also that when he was going to make us, create us, his beautiful, beloved people, created in his image, with a choice, that we would all choose to go our own way. We would all be like Eve, like Adam, and individually we would make our own choices. We were born in sin and we made our own choices after that. And God made a stand way back then that has repercussions all the way through eternity, because God made a stand that took Jesus Christ to the cross so that he could bring us, his beautiful, beloved people, to himself. That wasn't the decision to bring Jesus to the cross was not something that happened in the Garden of Eden. The decision to bring Jesus to the cross happened way before the world began. And that, the love, that just shows to us the love that God has for each one of us. We see ourselves in the light of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not. We don't always see ourselves in the light of Ephesians 2, where we read, but God, who is so rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And it is by grace alone that we have been saved and raised up together. And he made us to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, and not of yourselves. It is a pure gift from God. And that's an awesome thing to think of, isn't it? If we abandon who we are, abandon the talents, abandon the strengths that we have, and know that our salvation alone rests on the stand that God took before he created the world, when he said, I love these people, I want them with me, I'm bringing them to myself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hillsong has some good songs. One of the ones from the recent from their recent album is, does anyone have a song, Love on the Line? You put your love on the line. Phrases in that song come out which are powerful and strong. Mercy roars like hurricane winds. It wasn't a passive decision that God made. It wasn't a passive stand. He said, I will have these people. He roared like a hurricane wind. Furious love. You, Satan, have made it impossible. You, Satan, have made it impossible for these people to come to me. I will make it possible for them to be with me. Furious love. The greatest of all romance, the love of God, my Saviour. And later on it says, to the one who has rescued my soul, to the one who has welcomed me home. Our God is not an angry God. He is a loving God. He welcomes us. He is angry against sin, make no mistake, but he loves us with a love that's unmeasured. And even on our worst days, he loves us as much as he loves us on what we consider are our best days. Joel Houston wrote, in the time has come, found love beyond all reason. We can't reason the love of God. And he wrote, caught in, it's always captured my mind, this line, caught in the mercy fallout. I got caught, I got wrapped, I got captured. He called me, I couldn't do anything but come. So that's the stand that God made for us. And by becoming a Christian, that identifies us with Christ just through the very nature of our salvation with him. It's not an option that we have. We can't just say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be involved. That's not how it is. When we become a Christian, when we come into God's family, his Spirit, it is by the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Spirit lives in us. And everyone throughout the spiritual realm knows who we are and who we belong to. There's no hiding in the spiritual realm. We can hide ourselves here. I can be a closet Christian if I like. Yeah, I've got my ticket and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But don't expect me to get involved. No, I like the easy life. It's not like that. Satan and all of his cohorts, as well as heaven and all of the angels, know exactly who we are. We are identified with Christ irrevocably when we commit our lives to him, and we accept his salvation. And because of his sworn hatred for God, Satan has declared war on us. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we're not fighting against people made with flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly realms." Sometimes it seems like we're having a really tough day. Sometimes it seems like we're having a really tough month, a really tough year. I heard a lot of people say, "I can't wait for 2016 to finish, just so I can get into 2017. It's been a horrible year." The attacks that Satan makes on us are real, because he does not want us to succeed in growing and in producing fruit in our lives. And most of all, he does not want us to grow and produce mature fruit and attract other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't stop the fact that we are Christ's, but he can stop our lives from growing, or he can attempt to stop our lives from growing and maturing. And he sets out to do his darndest in the most subtle of ways to do that. It's Halloween this week. It is not just some mindless, innocent, childish prank. It is actually a demonic celebration at Halloween. And I saw on Facebook, I don't know if anybody else saw it, I did put it through on my feed, of an article that a former Satanist had written. And he said, "I cannot imagine why Christians do not investigate and why Christians do not know the demonic nature of Halloween." And he said, "When I and my partner, when we were Satanists, he's not now, were married, we chose to get married on the 31st because that was the day, the strongest, most celebrated day on the evil calendar." Satan is out there, and he is alive and well, part of Hal Lindsey book. I don't know if anybody has read that years and years ago. But Satan is there, and it is his determined program, I've lost the word, to make sure that we do not grow in our faith. Because of our identity in Christ, we don't have the option, like I said before, to be silent or passive Christians. We're called to stand firm in our faith, and especially at this time when we look around Australia, and I don't know about all of you, but you're probably in the same boat as me, and you can look back and see the Australia that we had 20 years ago or 30 years ago is not the Australia that we have today. The moral code has gone completely, or almost completely. And we are seeing more and more attacks on our Christian faith, more and more attacks on even Christmas. Thank goodness Woolworths has got Christmas. Has anyone seen that? And I was really delighted to go into, that purple craft shopping, Gympie? Lincra, thank you. And they had Christmas stuff, Christmas everywhere. And it was just lovely to be able to see that Christmas is still allowed to be in places because of the sustained attack that there's been on Christmas, because of the sustained attack that there's been on Christians and Christian word in the school. It's not what we used to have. And moral codes that we thought would never come to our country have come to our country. We're called to stand firm in our faith. We get a little bit blindsided accepting of people. And in doing that, it's easy to accept, to think that we need to accept the things that they stand for. That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus said to love people, but that doesn't mean to say we have to take on board what they are standing for. And it doesn't mean to say that because we don't like or we don't accept what they stand for, that we can't love them. That doesn't mean that at all. Otherwise, we'd be little islands out in the middle of the sea of people. We'd be absolutely no good to people. We're called to stand firm in our faith and live a life of conviction that brings the love of God and the truth of God into our community. And we can only do that by reaching out and meeting people where they themselves are at, not necessarily accepting what they stand for. So getting ready to make a stand. Stand still. This is what God is saying to us. It's so easy, crumbs. I tell you what, one of my biggest things that I have to be really careful of is that jolly Facebook, because it's so easy to open up your phone and flick, flick, flick. Oh, and who's answered my feed and who's got comments? I've had to stop being on Facebook because it just distracts me so much and wastes so much time. It's out there. The phones there, not the phones, the television's out there. There's so much that's out there. We are information overloaded these days. And to take a step back and to shut all that away and to take time to be with God is something that we have to really dedicate our minds to do. We have to stand still. We have to learn and to be rooted and grounded in our faith. We have to know what it is that we stand for. We know we're Christians, but we don't know, the moment we become Christians, everything about our Christian apprenticeship, our Christian growth in our Christian walk. We don't have to read the Bible every day to please God. As Joyce Meyer says, He already knows what's in it. You're not teaching God anything every time you read the Bible. But it is for us. It is for us to step back, to take the time to ground ourselves in Him and to ground ourselves in His Word. Know that God is with you. No matter how you feel, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how bleak your day is, God is with you. He reassures us of that. Jesus said just before he ascended, he said, I am with you always. I am the God who was, the God who is, and the God who always will be. I am with you. Psalm 139, I don't know if you know, it's a beautiful psalm. I love it because it's exquisite in its intimacy. It says, Lord, you know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. You know when I walk. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. And that's a whoops moment for me. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me. You tell me where to stop and rest. You both precede me. I love this. You precede me. You follow me. And you place your hand of blessing on my head. We are wrapped up in God every moment of the day. Stop and think. We are wrapped up in God because He is always with us. He is before us. He is behind us. He places His hand of blessing on our heads. So we need to take the time to know what we believe. In our busy days, and I appreciate that as much as anybody does, it is a discipline to turn off from the distractions and to say, this time is my time with God. But it's something that we need to do. And as we do, He meets with us and He teaches us in our studies. He teaches us in our worship. That's why worship is so important. In our drives in the car, my drive to and from work is a sanctuary. I love that 20 minutes to and from work because that's my time and that's the time I can spend with God. Apart from any other time that I do. Wherever we are, He teaches us as we are surrendered to Him. But the prime time, the best time for God to teach us is alone with Him and on your knees. Physically, literally, on your knees. There is something about the heart and the body being surrendered on our knees that opens our souls to Jesus teaching us. It is a physical thing that I cannot explain, but I know that it's true. So getting ready to make a stand, and then stand. Just make that stand. Be determined. There's a new word that I've only just recently heard. You might have heard this a while ago. It's called intentionality. I love that word because it says, I mean what I'm doing. It's got direction and it's got purpose. I'm going to intentionally live my life. So we're called to stand and to grow just where we're planted. It's probably easy to think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I could be a better Christian if God did call me to be a missionary over there. What if God hasn't called you? Bruce and I thought we would be missionaries when we were first married. We didn't save to build a house. We just thought God was going to call us within 12 months of being married. Well, we're still here, and in the meantime, God has shown us that he has, that the ministry is here, where we are. In Australia, now more than ever, we need missionaries intentionally living in our communities in Australia. So different places where you can be planted. Well, look, some of us are gardeners, and so one of my favourite pictures is one of a cliff. And in the rocky crag in the cliff is an orchid that's grown down, and its roots have found the soil that's stuck down behind the crag, and it's blooming absolutely beautifully. In the toughest of places, that orchid has done what it does best. It's put its roots down, it's drawn up the nourishment, and it's blooming. And it's a thing of joy for anyone who walks past and sees it. Rose gardens? We love to be planted in a rose garden. Yeah, but there's thorns in rose gardens, remember? It's not always as good as it looks on the other side of the fence. Veggie patch. Who ever feels like you're in a veggie patch? It's pretty useful, but it's not very exotic, is it, eh? Living next to all those cabbages. Cactus gardens, dry and arid, with prickly neighbours. We all know about that too, don't we, eh? But inside those prickly plants is life-giving sustenance. Perhaps you just live in a botanical garden, a mix of everything. It is no mistake where each one of us is right now. Even with the mistakes that we've made in our lives, God is omniscient. He knows all. He is in all. He is above all. And beyond our reasoning, our lives are as he planned them and knew them to be. So anything that we might say, oh, but if only I had listened when I thought God was calling me to college, but now my life is, I'm just here, you know, it doesn't mean anything. That's not how it is. Where you are today, despite the mistakes that we've made along the way, is exactly where God wants us to be. And it's exactly where God is calling us to make a stand. Right here, right now, at this time, with these people in this community. And so staying with flowers, so we've got ready to make a stand, and we do that all the time. We continue to study. We know we are where God has planted us. And what we don't stop to look at is the beautiful fruit that God produces in our lives. We can't see it. We're too introspective. We see our faults. But God sees the beauty that he has planned for us. God knows the people he wants us to be. And we're all different. I've got stephanotis flowering in my garden at the moment. Those beautiful, heavy, fragrant, the most gorgeous white trumpets. But then there's mock orange as well. And it's got the most gorgeous heavy perfume. And the birds love the fruit. Different purpose to stephanotis, but just as beautiful. The jacaranda and the silky oak, well, the birds absolutely love those, and they're flowering amazingly this year. And 4 a.m. every morning we hear about it from the birds. But we have another one called the Brazilian cherry, and it has the tiniest, tiniest white flowers. It doesn't particularly have a fragrance. But it stands there in our garden and it just masses with its small, white, humble flowers. And guess where Murray's bees go? They go to that Brazilian cherry, and if they could, I am sure they would lift that tree and take it over to Murray's place. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your gifts, or what your strengths, or where you are, or what your job. God has planted us where we are to make a stand, to be the people that he has made us to be, or the purposes he's made us to be, to do. It's written in Chronicles when David died, and when he passed, after completing the purpose of God in his generation. After completing the purpose of God in his generation. What better epitaph could there be than that on our lives? Except to get to heaven and have Jesus welcome us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I wanted." Can you imagine? That's what I'd love to hear when I get to heaven. So spring is good, spring is lovely. We all go through different seasons. We all go through winter times. Falling on my face was not a really good experience, and yesterday was a fairly winter day for me. I felt sore, I felt a bit barren, I felt a bit grey, and I had to struggle a little bit to realise and to remember that God was actually with me in the fact, in the way that I was feeling. The fact that I actually fell because I got distracted, it happened because I was taking some bins out to be picked up on the front driveway. This is no great story for me, I had actually had to lift the bin over the lip that's about that big where the driveway has dropped below the footpath. You would think that any rational person would know that if you have to lift the bin over, that you also have to lift your feet up to get over that same lip. But I got distracted, and I was talking away, and I was laughing with somebody else, and I was so distracted I forgot to lift my feet and paid the consequences for that. But we do get distracted, don't we, hey? Any rational Christian would know that it's a good thing for us to read our word, to read the word. It's a good thing for us to stay in fellowship with God. It's a good thing for us to remember his love and who he is. But we get distracted. And as we get distracted, we start to wonder if he's with us. We start to feel down. We don't feel so close to him. And it's at that time that Satan is really trying to drag us away from our closeness and our walk with God. And it's at that time in particular that we need to run back to him. In the winter time, it's cold and we go back to a fire. When we're feeling cold in our spirit, that's when we need to go back to God. We need to stand by his fire. We need to warm ourselves. We need to refresh. We need to learn again how much he loves us despite our failings. As he left us, he never does. And even David cried out to God in the middle of the night, "Where are you, God?" In the winter times, it just seems like nothing's happened. It seems like we're going backwards. It seems like we're fighting to maintain our level ground. But in actual fact, it's in those times that we are actually growing. Our faith is actually being refreshed as we understand the depths of God's love for us. And it's in those times that we are being prepared for spring, when we do produce flowers, when we do produce the gifts of the Spirit, when we do go on to be the people that he wants us to be. So standing and blooming where you are, standing strong in the summertime, the heat, the winds, the storms. I think we've talked about that enough as we've gone through. But God has given us some other clues. He's given us again in Ephesians 6. put on the full armour of God. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Gird your waist with truth. Stay in his word. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Know who you are. You are righteous before God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith so that you can quench the fiery darts, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Getting back to being rooted and grounded in the summertime when we're facing the heat, the pruning, the storms. We go back to the wintertime when we learned, when we stood, when we were grounded in God's word. So making a stand, how does that translate to us today? There's three simple ways. Once again, that word intentionality. I don't intend to live this way. I intend to be prepared to stand with each other. We are our family. We are, as Nick said before, we belong to each other. There is a lot of condemnation. There's a lot of slack in the community for Christians. Where else can we find comfort and support except with each other? Love each other. Be there for each other. Watch out for each other. If someone's not at church, ring them up. Find out what's happening, even if it's just, hi, how's it going? Watch those eyes when you say, how's it going? And someone says, good, thanks. Do their eyes and their face meet the words? Good, thanks is a pat answer. Make sure they really mean what they say. Be there for them. Let the love that we have for each other be the thing that attracts people to our church, people to Jesus. Jesus said, by your love, they will know you. Stand for each other. Stand up for whatever it is that God has laid on your heart. We are here with a purpose. Not just travelling through on the way to heaven, thank you very much, with the doors closed, the windows up and the music blaring loud, even if it is gospel music. We are actually here to be engaged in our community. We're here with a purpose. And God will lay things on each of our hearts that he wants us to be concerned in, that he wants us to work in, to make a difference for. Is it the same-sex marriage debate? Only you will know. Is it revival in Australia? We heard last week that the prophecies have been made several times over that there will be a revival in Australia, starting with the Aboriginal people. Cole, who was here some time ago in the AOG church, spoke to me once, and he had three visions from God of revival in this area alone. I had a vision of revival in this area. God has his hand on this area, and he is calling us to be his hands, his feet, his people in this area, so his spirit can flow through us to the people who need him so badly here. Stand up for what it is. If there's nothing on your heart, ask God to put something on your heart so that you can stand with intentionality, so that your life can count here for the revival he wants to bring. Stand up, stand with, stand up. And the last one, be prepared to stand firm for the vision that you may have that God has placed in your heart. Now, Psalm 37, God will give you the desires of your heart, which can sometimes be misconstrued to think, if I become a Christian, and if I ask God for this lovely house with a pool that overlooks the beach, the beautiful deck, he'll give it to me. No, he won't. But as we become Christians, as we grow in our walk with him, as we get to know him more, he will place those desires in our heart, and he will give us those desires. For years and years, I had a dream. And poor Bruce, I used to chew his ear so much because it was an impossible dream. And I remember when we were going to church in Monkland, and our little fella, our youngest, our big Rowan, was a little fella. And I had this dream that one day I would speak to people. And it wasn't just to women, I was going to speak to people. And we were part of an evangelical church that just said, and still to this day, says women are not able to have a place in the ministry in the church. And I used to say to Bruce, if this is not from God, where is it from? And I used to pray, God, take this away. If this is something that I want to do for myself, please take this away. I prayed that for years and it stayed. We have probably got more books of ministry of women in the church than anybody else in the library in this church, probably, because I studied it so hard to find out what God's will was. It would be 30 years later, from that time when I was speaking to Bruce, that John said to me, Heather, you can speak. And at that point I said, my gosh, I don't know anything. I can't teach anybody a thing. And probably I still think the same, but I am very grateful for the opportunity that God through John has given us women to have a word to say. Don't dismiss those dreams as being fanciful or impossible. If you've got any difficulties, God will work through all of our reasons, all of our excuses. Moses said, I'm the wrong age, I'm too old. But God was looking at his experience. I haven't got any gifts, I can't speak. Aaron can speak for you. Physical barriers, the Red Sea parted. Everyone's against me. What are they going to say? They know I killed this man 40 years ago. God changed their hearts. Whatever your excuses, whatever your reasons, God will work through them. And don't forget, it was a converted terrorist, originally known as Saul, that God used to spread the gospel to the Gentiles through most of the known world of his day. So whatever we are today, whatever our circumstances, wherever we are, God calls us to do one thing, to stand firm in our convictions, to stand firm in our Christian faith, to stand rooted and grounded in the faith that he has called us to be there for each other, to stand up for what is right, and to stand for the dreams that he has given us so that we may be the people who accomplish in our lives the purposes of God in our generation. Thank you.